Fusion is a place where you can invite your friends that wherever they are in their journey, they can grow. And that's what it's all about. Our job is not to make people like us. Our job is to point people to Jesus. And Jesus' job is to make people like Jesus. Does that make sense? It is so good to be here. I love your guys' church. I love Fusion. I love Fusion not because you have this beautiful building, you've got this cool backdrop and amazing screens and guitars, but because you guys are a discriminatory church. And I like that because it seems like you only let good-looking people join. It's amazing. So I look out and it's just like, wow, gorgeous people that could be paid to be on a cover somewhere. It's just amazing. So not every church is that bold. Not every church has the guts to do that, but you guys do. You went there, and I think it's awesome. So Love Fusion, a church of beautiful people. Did anybody really notice in that small group video? This is important. If you didn't catch it, you need to catch this. Is that there are like four opportunities for people to go out and have a great time eating food. And in the middle of that is if you have an unhealthy relationship with food, there's a place for you. That's like saying, hey, we've got free crack, free cocaine all week long, and we've got NA for you. That's amazing. Again, another bold move. Another reason why I love this church. You guys just don't even care. It's like you can't get more authentic than that. Look, we're imperfect people, and we're gonna let you worship here in your imperfection. I think that's great. So I'm super happy to be here. I love Zach and Laura. We've been blood related as family, as I'm a Balcom and Laura married into the Elliott family, but also we've been doing ministry together for over a decade, as you guys have been doing ministry here in Temecula and then in Murrieta and then back in Temecula, then Murrieta and then back in Temecula again. We've been doing ministry in Peru since 1999. And we're just so privileged that we get to do ministry together. And also, show of hands or a whoop whoop if you've been to Peru on a missions trip. There we go. There's a few whoop whoop show of hands. That means there's plenty of opportunity for other people to go or to come on a missions trip to Peru. And you know, a lot of times people are just waiting for an invitation. Like, oh, nobody ever invited me. Okay, so I'm gonna invite every person here right now, okay? It's gonna take about 7 minutes. Come to Peru, 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 come to Peru. You know what, we gotta do this faster. There's gotta be a better way. I'm just gonna point. Okay, we gotta get into this message. Can you tell that I like to have a good time? I feel super comfortable here. I don't feel comfortable at every location, but here I feel like I'm in home, and I really do. I just love you guys so much. About 2-3 years ago, I went with my twin brother, Noah, to go visit a Native community. Now, we work in Peru with Native communities. We work with, right now, consistently about 43 Native communities, 8 different ethnicities. That's 8 different cultures, 8 different languages, not dialects, just completely different people way out in the Amazon of Peru. And so my twin brother Noah went on a trip with me to go visit these tribes. And we went to the first community, and the tribes have this thing that they do of once you get out of the boat, they grab you by the hand and they run with you to their main like central assembly area. And they run around in a circle for like 20 minutes. And nobody's talking the whole time. And everyone has a serious face and they're just running around. And you've got to run around with them. And the whole time, like it's in the beginning, people are smiling like, hey, like this is fun. And then like 5 minutes later, you're like, when's this going to end? I am overweight. I am not used to this many steps. And after a while of doing this, I learned that if you fake an injury, the most common is that with just a show of your hand, you say, and then like, oh, he must be injured one. and you get to stay in the boat while everybody runs around. So at this village, Noah didn't know that pro tip, and so he got out and he ran around for like 20 minutes, but because he ran around, he got to speak first when it was time to address the tribe. And Noah said one of the most profound things that I've ever heard somebody say. He got up, he said, in English that was translated to Spanish, that was translated to their native language, he said, "My name is Noah. I do not have words to say to you, but I have two eyes, I have two ears, and I have a heart. And I'm here to look, listen, and love." And I was like, man, that is so awesome. I don't have words to say, but I do have two eyes, I've got two ears, I've got a heart, and I can look, and I can listen, and I can love you. So when we went to the next village, I was the first person to talk. And I got up and I said, "My name is Nick, and I don't have any words to say, but I have two eyes and two ears and a heart, and I'm here to look, listen, and love." And the community was like, oh. And Noah was looking at me like, and then I said, all right, and now my brother Noah's gonna get up and say something. Which was great. It's so good to have my brother Noah too here, because a lot of you didn't know that I have a twin, and that's why I wear a hat with my name on it. And he wears a hat that says Noah on it. And so some people already in last service, they were coming up to Noah and they were like, "You did so good." And Noah has already been trained, because we've been trained since we were young. When he would do something on stage or I would do something on stage and somebody would come up to us mistakenly, we would just take credit for it. He used to sing at church and he would sing a solo, and afterwards people would come up to me and they would say, "Wow, Noah, your solo was so good." And I would say, "Thank you, it's always nice to meet a fan. No pictures, please." And Noah's been trained to do the same thing. So afterwards of this message, if you go up to him and you say, "Nick, that was an amazing message. That message changed my life. That message was the most profound thing I've ever heard in a long, long time." He's probably gonna say something like, "Don't worship me, worship the one who sent me," something spiritual like that. But if he asks you for money, please, please, please give him small bills. 20s, 10s, 5s, and 1s. Because we don't know what to do with a 50 or 100, but we can do stuff with 20s, 10s, 5s, and 1s. I'm going to tell a really quick story, and then we're going to read about 2 minutes of scripture, and then we're going to talk about the main points of this message, which is very simple, of look, listen, love. All right, are you with me? We can do this. In 6th century BC in Greece, there was a terrible plague and nobody knew what was happening. Nobody knew what was going on. All they knew is that people were dying. And finally, the wise men of the city got together and they said, "Okay, we have to do something. Is there anybody we can turn to?" And somebody said, "Well, there's this wise old man in this other island. Let's call him and tell him to come over and maybe he will give us the solution." So they sent emissaries to go over there. He said something like, "Yeah, the oracles told me you were coming." So he comes over to Greece and he says, "Okay, here's what you need to do. This plague is happening because you mistreated a people group, even though you said you were gonna treat them honestly. And the God that they serve is very upset with you. And so what you need to do is do a sacrifice to appease that God." And he said, "So this is how we're gonna do it. And this is how you're gonna know that the God is gonna be appeased. We're going to release a bunch of sheep out into this field. And it's gonna be in the morning time where sheep normally eat. That's when they're just munching down on all that grass. And what we're gonna do is every sheep that instead of eating just lays down, we're gonna know that that's a sheep that this God wants to be sacrificed to be appeased for this horrible thing that you guys did." So they said, "Well, this sounds impossible, because what sheep is ever going to not eat grass, especially in the morning when it's time to eat grass?" And so in the morning they release all the sheep and everybody in Greece is like, this is crazy talk. But lo and behold, one by one, sheep stopped at different places in the field and they laid down instead of eating. And so this wise man said, okay, where those sheep are laying down, you need to build an altar and sacrifice the sheep. And so they did that, and they ended up sacrificing a bunch of sheep in different places. And the next day, the plague started to diminish and people started to recover. And it was this amazing thing. So then they said, well, what do we do now? And the people decided, well, what we're gonna do is we're going to put shrines in all of those places so that we can honor this certain God that saved the city and took away this plague. And they said, well, what name do we give this God? And this wise man from this other island said, how could we even ever assume to know the name of God, the creator of all? Don't feel like you have to put a name, just put the unknown God. And so they created all of these shrines and they put shrine to the unknown God. And then time passes and one shrine falls into disrepair, and then another shrine falls into disrepair, and then another shrine falls into disrepair, until finally there's just one shrine left and two people from years later that remembered, like, hey, that shrine over there, you remember that, what that was for? It's like, yeah, that was that crazy sheep thing in the plague. And those two guys said, look, we've got to remember this. So what we're going to do is we're going to build an altar or a shrine there, and we're going to budget municipal money to keep that place in good repair so that we'll always remember that at one time an unknown God did this great thing. And then hundreds of years passed. And we pick up the story in the book of Acts. And let's read it. Here we go. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was there deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. He went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square to all who happened to be there. He also had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. When he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, "What's this babbler trying to say with these strange ideas he's picked up?" Others said, "He seems to be preaching about some foreign gods." Then they took him to the high council of the city. "Come and tell us about this new teaching," they said. "You are saying some rather strange things, and we want to know what it's all about." It should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seemed to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. "Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way, for as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. When they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, but others said, we want to hear more about this later. And that ended Paul's discussion with them. But some joined him and became believers. Among them was Dionysus, a member of the council, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. That's a pretty cool story. So the history part of that is taken from different Stoic writers over the centuries. And later on, Luke picked it up in the book of Acts and retells that story. And it gives us a perfect example of how we can go into other people's worlds and into their context, and we can look, we can listen, and we can love. because that's what we're talking about today. You have to understand about me, you don't have to understand anything. Something I would like to share about myself to you is I'm a very simple person. I try to simplify everything as much as possible. And I really do try to do what the mission of this church is. It's to love God, love others, and tell everyone. And that doesn't have to be difficult. To simply love God, love others, and tell everyone starts with looking, listening, and loving. And so where we're working with these Native communities, in the furthest one, that's the furthest, most isolated and close to the Alto Perus National Park, in that area, it's a community called La Colombiana, and just close enough for this incident to happen, there's an isolated people group. The people group is called the Mashcopiros. They've never been contacted. They've lived in isolation for hundreds of years. The government knows where they are. There's evidence. Back in August of last year, some illegal loggers took pictures of them that you can look up on the internet. It shows a bunch of half-naked people on the riverbanks with spears. And so this uncontacted tribe is now literally on the doorstep of this community, La Colombiana. And 4 days ago, they sent me and our team images of their homes that had been ransacked. Food had been stolen, clothes had been stolen, anything that was of value that they could identify to them was taken. And so what we have is a situation of this people group that's never been contacted that is starting to make initial contact. And what I believe is that within the next 6 months to 12 months, there's finally gonna be something that happens that these people are gonna be contacted. And normally for Christians, we're like, oh, that's the coolest thing ever. Like, cause then we can be the first people that can come in there and tell them about the gospel. And that's the gospel going out to the ends of the earth and everybody will be disciples. And then the end will come and we can all go to heaven because life sucks or whatever. And I look at it, I'm like, I don't even know what we're supposed to do. If we're supposed to contact them, wait for them to contact us, give them a Bible, teach them how to read, like all that stuff, who knows? It's not the point. The point is, how crazy would it be if the next missions team from Fusion Church went to Peru, went to the deepest part of the jungle, and we're like, we're gonna reach this uncontacted people group. We hike into the jungle for like 2 miles because we're not walking further than 2 miles for Jesus. God said, go the extra mile, not the extra miles. So we're gonna go 2 miles in, and we come into a clearing and there's all these huts and these half-naked people with spears, and lo and behold, they speak English. Wouldn't that be something? And then as we get there, a spokesman from Fusion Church gets up and says, we're here to tell you about Jesus, and you can have a relationship with God, and you can go to heaven. And to do that, all you have to do is come to our church. We've got 3 services on a Sunday. We make it really easy for you. You're gonna get here, and then you're gonna sit, and then you're gonna stand, and then you're gonna sing songs. And if you don't know the words, that's okay, because we've got the lyrics on the screen for you. And then we're gonna give an announcement video, and we do announcement video so that it's super efficient and there's not somebody just jabbering about announcements, because we are busy people. You don't understand busy, don't worry. We will teach you how to be busy. And then after that, Pastor Zach is gonna get up and he's gonna talk for about 20 minutes. And then at some point, he's gonna ask you for money. And then we have these things called small groups. You're gonna be able to, for you guys, it's called groups, but the small groups. And you guys are gonna be able to assimilate and be known and get to know other people. And we talk a lot about food, something you guys don't know a lot about. And then at the end, it's funny because it's true. And then at the end, everybody gets day-old bread from Panera. It's amazing. And with that, you get to go to heaven. That would be crazy. That would be crazy. But how many times, you guys, when we're talking to other people about a relationship with Christ, we don't talk about a relationship with Christ. We say, come join my Christian cult. Like, come worship where I worship and do all the things that I do so you can be like me, because I don't like people that are different. Instead of, what did Paul do? And let's go through this really quick. Remember, the message is simple. Look, listen, love. And the first thing Paul did is he looked and he said, while I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. So Paul went into their culture and he looked around, he's walking around. And the first thing that we can do, you guys, is as we're going through our lives, we can look around and see what other people are using to experience spirituality, because people are looking to connect with the supernatural. So all you have to do is simply look around without saying anything to see, what are people worshiping? What are people putting their time to? Who's doing CrossFit? Who is their God? Next thing, listen. This is great. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So Paul not only was looking, but he was also listening to the writers of the time to be able to contextualize a message. I'm telling you that God created all of us, and he created us for a purpose just like your poets have written about. So we're finding common ground to be able to assimilate and contextualize the gospel in a language that people already understand. But to be able to get to that point, we have to get out of ourselves and we have to listen. Nobody cares what you have to say. Nobody cares as much as they care about what they have to say. And you and I could argue all day long with other people to convince them that you are right and I am wrong, but at the end, it just divides us further. But when we step into other people's worlds and we simply look and we listen, then it gives us the opportunity to share God's love. So, wow, that was the weakest start of an applause ever. And you'll note, I wasn't trying to call anybody out. I'm just saying, if you're gonna do something good, like, do it good. My kids have this thing where when they say sorry, I say, don't be sorry, be better. Yeah. Right? I don't have a place to spend your sorries. But if you're better, then we both win. Okay, last point, love. This is the best thing ever. I'm gonna take all the pressure away from you about this whole loving God, loving others, and tell everybody. When they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, but others said, we want to hear more about this later. That ended Paul's discussion with them, but some joined him and became believers. So some became believers. Some people, when you talk to them, are gonna laugh. Some people are gonna wanna hear more, and other people are going to become believers. And then when they become believers, let God work everything else out. If I'm sharing the gospel to a tribe and they become believers, and then it's like, well, what do we do now? If the chief has two wives, he gets to keep his two wives. If they're messing around with Ouija boards or their version of it, well, that's gonna be a conversation. But our idea is not to now change everybody. Our idea is to create a space so that God can do the work. And that's what fusion is. Fusion is a place to not impose now a type of way to live that everybody has to live or get out. But it's a place for everybody in all their different walks of life to grow spiritually wherever they are, and each other to be able to encourage each other to grow. When I became a Christian, I wasn't perfect like I am now. And you have to know, as I am now is also subjective, right? Why should I expect anybody who's decided to give their lives to Christ to now do all the things that I do just because it makes me uncomfortable? Fusion is a place where you can invite your friends that wherever they are in their journey, they can grow. And that's what it's all about. Our job is not to make people like us. Our job is to point people to Jesus. And Jesus' job is to make people like Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay, so finishing all of this up. If our job is to look If our job is to listen and our job is to love, who are the people in your neighborhood, in your community, in your job, that this week you can take time to step out of your busy schedule and simply observe, hey, what are they into? Listen to what they want to talk about. And amongst that whole conversation, say, you know what? I heard you say all this and I see you doing this. Have you ever considered that you have a God that created you, that loves you, and has made a way to take away the burden, the pain, the weight that maybe you're carrying, the sadness that you're going through? And if that's true, would you like to know him? And I can point you to him. We can all do that. So look, listen, love.